Welcome back to the 20th episode of the Pull Out Podcast. I know that we've been gone for a while.
How are we doing this?
We just kind of been busy with trips and whatnot, but we're finally back. I don't know what these guys are doing over here. They're focused on their framing.
You're blocking us, dude.
No, it's fine. You're good. You're good. Just keep going.
Okay. But yeah, we're back. We're live. We're sexy, and we're here. Welcome. You're welcome.
What the fuck? Welcome. You're welcome.
Look, and now he moved. So now we're all weird.
No, dude, it's fine.
It's fine, dude. Don't worry about it. Come on. Let's worry about getting it done. We don't have to be. We're imperfectionists.
You gotta move a little back.
We're imperfectionists. There we go. Here. No, but sometimes it's going to come up like this. So just scoot that way.
Yeah, I mean, when you go back.
All right.
It's not that big of a deal, dude. Because when he's talking and.
Sometimes I might, you know. Come up to emphasize something, you know?
Okay.
So you gotta expect me to get in the way.
Yeah.
All right, listen here, you motherfuckers. So we have a fucking Patreon that you can subscribe to if you didn't know, which includes our Discord and exclusive episodes. But back to the Discord, you can talk to us. You know, you could just, we have a bunch of tabs on there. Is that what you call them, tabs? Whatever channels where you can talk to us and just kind of send your thoughts and send memes and your favorite movies. We have a bunch of topics. You can talk to the other people that are also subscribed there. They're probably like-minded individuals if they also listen to this pull-out podcast. So link in the description for that. And yeah, to the episode. What should we talk about first that's been happening?
Well, so the last podcast was a month ago. We have to kind of review March then.
March, yes.
Because in March, you went to Austin. Well, we all went to Austin. You did the merch drop. We bought a fucking car that didn't work in the end.
I'll explain the whole story. I guess I'll just start with the car. I didn't talk about this in a podcast, right? Yet, right?
No.
Okay. So you guys saw the video. I surprised Alejandro with a beautiful brand new 2021 car. And he doesn't seem that grateful for it. I don't know why.
Yeah, maybe because it's not a 2021 car. It's a 1978 Toyota Dolphin.
Yeah. By the way, if a model of a car has an animal in it and it's not a Jaguar, it's probably a piece of shit.
Yeah, especially if it's called Dolphin.
Yeah, like that's a... What kind of fucking animal... Why would you choose that?
I don't know.
Dolphins rape people.
Yeah, they do. They do rape people.
So, do you feel like you got molested by this purchase of this car?
Oh, for sure. I got fucked in the ass. 100%. So, I bought this Toyota Dolphin 1978 for $2,100.
Damn. $2,000.
Now, he listed it for $3,000. So, keep in mind, I negotiated $900 off of it. So, I did a pretty good job. But it was still worth around $50 for sure.
Well, he did that thing to you that people do.
What?
He probably wanted to sell it at $2,000, but he's like, "Let me list it as $3,000."
Yeah, yeah.
So I can bring it back down, and they think they brought it back down by $900, but I actually wanted to sell it at $2,000.
So he sold it for $100 more than he wanted. But I still bought it just because I thought it would be great for a video, which it was. One of my favorite videos. It's pretty cool.
It's one of my favorite videos too.
Okay.
That was so disingenuous.
Yeah, that sounded weird.
Dude, I feel like I need like coffee or something, dude.
Take a sip of the Celsius. We're not sponsored, so don't fucking buy them.
God, dude, but it has so much sugar.
Well, they did send us a box, so maybe buy it a little bit. They sent us a free
dude,
box.
This just sounds unhealthy as fuck.
Take one sip.
I mean, dude, you're not
take
drinking the whole can.
It's beautiful. Oh my god. Dude. Yo, chill out. Chill a little bit. Oh my god, you just took four gulps.
I don't feel anything.
Yeah, you should probably drink
I don't feel anything.
You're going to start jumping, bro.
Really?
Yeah, these drinks are crazy.
But what is it? I don't drink caffeine
They're
at all.
They're meant for pre-workout, basically before you go to the gym. But they have the equivalent. I drink at most probably like 2 cups of coffee. That has 4 cups of coffee in one can.
Yep.
Wow. So it's a lot of fucking caffeine.
Let me drink a little bit more, dude.
Yeah, you probably want to finish
serious?
That.
I feel kind of buzzed up.
Well, yeah.
Oh, he's drinking more. He's drinking more.
Oh, dude. Holy shit.
Okay, okay.
How bad is
this,
dude?
That's enough.
Is it really that strong?
Yeah, well,
the,
dude.
Yeah, because
drink,
the thing about
after
it.
After I drink half a can, I start jumping. No, like, fucking literally, way. I'm in my room. I'm not even kidding. I start jumping.
No, fucking
bro,
way.
I literally, like, I'm like.
Oh, shit. I mean, I've
and I catch myself and I'm like, why am I doing this?
How long does it take to hit kick in?
Why are you talking like it's a drug, dude?
Yeah, like when does it
not that long. It takes like a minute.
A minute?
Yeah.
Right, I'll probably see, not I'll, a minute. I'll, give it like 10. But you're caffeine sensitive.
No, for me it kicks in quick.
Yeah, dude, this is actually the first time I probably drink caffeine ever.
Wow.
Because I've never drank coffee.
You drank coffee before?
I've tasted
tried
sips.
It. Yeah.
But I've never like, if that was a lot of caffeine, it's probably my first time.
One thing I love about coffee is that it's a social drink. So you don't have to get fucked up or anything. So you could be like, hey, let's go have coffee. And no matter what, like if the other person drinks coffee, that's the whole activity. You don't have to think about like jumping off a building, well, going skydiving or anything.
No, sometimes I tell girls, hey, you want to go out and get like a cup of water?
Damn.
Dude, if you, I hate that you said that. I don't want that to ever exist.
Have you seen that thing that they do at bars where it's like, oh, he got you this drink. And the girl's like, oh, thank you. And it's just water. You tell the bartender,
that is hilarious.
Like people do this, they tell the bartender, hey, give her some water, and the bartender goes, hey, he got you this drink.
I mean, yeah, I do that too. You know, you got to keep your girls hydrated.
Dude, why did you have to keep them hydrated?
Huh?
What? How are you dehydrating these women?
No, I'm just saying.
What are you doing that they're losing hydration?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, it's nice to buy a girl's a drink. You know, hey, let me get you a drink.
You're not even 21, dude. Relax.
No, but
yeah,
I'm
you're not even
water.
21.
Water.
Oh, water.
Water. Why are you, this hat changes the way you speak, dude. You
what's
never
up with
said
this hat?
You never said in your life you gotta keep your girls hydrated. What the fuck was that, dude? It's like Caesar right now, for the people who are only listening, is wearing like this
a fedora.
Basically,
oh yeah, it's called a fedora. I've been trying to figure out what it's called.
Yeah,
is that my hat?
No.
Huh, no, he got that from the knockoff Pharrell store.
Yeah, sure.
Anyways,
why do you have that hat?
Pharrell has
I got
a
it
taller
from,
hat.
I got it from H&M.
How come?
Bad
oh
joke.
Oh my god.
I don't know. I just thought, hey, why not? Well, I've been listening to Bruno Mars a lot. That's why.
Yeah. It kind of fits you with the hair, like the curly hair down a little bit.
Maybe
like if you were dressed.
Different.
No, of course. I mean, right now, like, not with that outfit, but
yeah,
if you're wearing,
right,
like,
a
Hawaiian
a
shirt
chest
and, like, you know, chains and shit like that, he would look good.
Yeah. I should do that.
Dude, yeah, fedoras is a weird thing. They can either make you look like a loser, a hipster, or a loser again. That's it. I don't think they ever make you look cool.
I think if you're a musician.
Nah, dude, it's like, okay, like, it just doesn't help. It's like, oh, he's a musician, so I kind of think it's cool, but deep down, you know it's not. Name me someone that looks good in a fedora. That you say, wow, dude, that fedora added so much.
It's hard.
Never, dude. It never adds.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know.
You it's got just like, you know what? Probably. I'll still smash, even though he has a fedora. That's what girls say.
Okay. I thought you were saying that.
No, that's what girls say. How to throw
but
that in there.
Anyways, just to fast pace back to the Toyota Dolphin story. So you bought this car for $2,100. You were basically, you shot that video, and the story was you wanted to take it to Vegas, right? For
yeah,
your,
I'm so
your
dumb for thinking about that. We were gonna drive it to Vegas. Long story short, it's not gonna work at all. So today, well, okay, Alejandro's brother flew in from Austin to fix the truck. He, you know, he replaces the fuel pump, the fuel line. And
new battery, dude. We spent $400.
Yeah, $400 to fix it. And it worked for a little bit. But well, the next day, which is today, we tried to drive it around LA.
Well, no, it's 2 days. What am I doing?
It
doesn't
matter.
I love how we caught you guys caught yourself so quick. I love it.
You caught him.
Well, because I realized, why the fuck am I fucking correcting one day different?
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter. Keep telling your story.
And then you know, we try to drive it today and we make it a whopping 2 blocks until it breaks down in the middle of the road, which is a pretty busy road. And then a cop is right there.
Oh, I like how you didn't name
so,
the road.
Yeah,
okay.
I almost did.
Okay,
I almost did.
I like how you didn't name the road.
And then a cop, like, you know, blocks traffic. And you know, tries to, you know, help us get off so that we could pull into a Ross.
What? No, it's still good. It's fine.
No, you're fine.
It's fine. Okay. There's 20 Rosses around.
Yeah, you're right.
LA. We're in California. Dude,
this Celsius is fucking me up.
By the way, okay. You have to explain. No. So Celsius, by the way, it's a
drink.
It's highly caffeinated.
We already said.
Okay.
Yeah. You already said it. Yes.
Good. And then we pulled into the Ross parking lot. And yeah, I mean, the truck just completely died.
Dude, my tongue is feeling weird. It's like acting up.
You said acting up.
What if you drink Celsius before hanging out with a girl? You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? No, honestly, dude, that might be a move because you're basically doing cardiovascular activity, right? And sometimes I'm sleepy as fuck and I get tired easily. I'm like an old beaten horse. So you know what? We have two cases of Celsius there. You know what? At this point, we should fucking have the podcast sponsored by Celsius. It would have been the same.
Yeah. Name. Yo, I'm going to text them that. I'm going to text them, hey, let's sponsor our podcast.
No, because then we have to drink it every time. And,
no, I mean, we don't have to drink it every time.
Y'all can drink it.
We can just have it. You don't have to drink them.
Oh, you're right.
But, okay, so, yeah. Truck doesn't work. I'm going to sell that thing. I'm probably going to get $200 to $300 for it.
What the fuck?
You can.
Dude, let's blow it up if you're going to get
it. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. If it's that low, we'll just take it to a desert and blow it up. I was having this conversation the other day. So somebody was asking me, hey, why did you blow up your car? Like, it still worked. I just don't understand why you had to set it on fire. Like, it's not making any sense to me. And I think I saw a tweet about this, but my response was, you know, sometimes I think it's worth it to do things that are completely not worth it for its cinematic value.
Yeah, I showed you that tweet.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Did I?
You didn't fucking show you shit.
Yeah,
dude.
I did.
But
you don't even use Twitter. One of the Discord users that we have in the Patreon sent me that tweet and I showed it to you.
Okay, thanks for the correction.
No, I'm saying subscribe to the Discord.
Patreon. Subscribe to the Patreon. But yeah, basically I was saying, hey, I think it's worth it to destroy some things or even do other things that don't make sense for just the aesthetics. Just because it looks cool.
Yeah.
I even remember when I was making a little video on my flip camera when I was 10 years old. And I wanted to make this little video where I throw an M&M packet off of the balcony. And my mom got mad at me like, hey, you just wasted those M&Ms. They cost money. But I remember telling her like, you don't understand. Like, this video is going to last forever.
Damn.
The M&Ms, you eat them in 2 minutes and they're gone. So I think it's worth $3 to throw this off for a video. So same thing with, you know,
that's crazy,
everything dude. Else. It's like, as long as you want the aesthetics, it's always worth it.
Yeah, because, I mean, you basically sacrifice the car for 2 million views, which is a good trade-off.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't think that's what he's saying. He's not talking about the views. He's talking about the cinematic value.
I mean, views are cool, too. Let's add that in there.
No, I mean, cinematic value. What are you gonna fucking blow up your car to get 10 views?
No, for the cinematic value.
What the fuck?
I think was that what you're referring to? Or you're referring to the views?
I'm referring mostly to the cinematic value.
That's what I'm saying.
But views could be like a cool cherry on the top.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not gonna completely ignore the views because then I'll be lying. So I'll take that into account.
Yeah.
You know,
that's crazy that you were thinking like that at 10 years old.
Were you 10 years old?
Yeah.
That
was 2000.
Here you go, making us feel old.
2009 and 2010.
What were you doing in 2009, 2010?
I graduated from sixth grade in 2008.
What?
Yeah.
No, you didn't.
Yeah.
No, because we're...
No, you didn't.
You're 5 years older than him.
Oh, wait, no. Because sixth grade doesn't
mean... So you were 15.
No, I wasn't 15 in 2008, Dumbo.
Yeah, he is, because you're 20, right? You'll be 21.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was 10 in 2009. So which means you either 15 or 16.
No, I'm 13.
Dude, how could he be 10?
How are you arguing my birthday?
Think about it. Think about it.
How are you arguing my birthday?
So you weren't 10.
Circle talk.
So I guess the problem is he wasn't 10.
No, hold on. I'm going to correct you.
Well, I'm saying I'm basing off him saying he was 10.
No. Be smart. Be fucking smart with what I'm saying.
So were you 10?
If I was born in 95, what age would I be in 2009?
Yeah.
Well, my age is easy to keep track of.
Because if I was born in 95, what age would I be in 2009?
Too old. That's your age. But dude, so you weren't 10.
No, dude, I was born in 2000. Do the math. It's so easy to.
So you.
In 2010, I was 10.
So he was 10. So that means that you were 15 in 2010.
No, dude.
Because you're not 3 years older than him.
If I was born in 95, dude.
You see what I'm saying?
Hold on. If you were born in when? 1995?
Yeah.
Then you were 15 in 2010.
No, I wasn't.
Dude. Oh,
do the math.
Do the fucking math.
Hold on. 2010, you're saying?
Yeah.
So I was in the car. 2010. What month?
Oh my God, bro, we got no, him,
no,
dude.
No, dude.
He tried to roast me, dude.
Into account.
I didn't want to destroy him. Because, I want to let him off.
Are you
slowly.
Arguing 13?
Yeah, I was arguing.
You can't be born in 1995 and be 13 in 2010. Not possible.
No, because you were saying
you can't take months into account.
2010 was not in the conversation.
Yeah, it was
up until
that's
a couple
what you,
minutes
that's what you
ago.
Were saying, right?
No, I was up until a couple minutes ago. You were saying some other fucking
now,
year.
Now the only other thing that was in the conversation was me being 10 years old.
Yeah,
so that would be the same thing.
No, somebody said 2008 or 2009.
No, dude, we're basing it off his age.
No, we can go back
old.
Into
no,
the fucking
no,
podcast.
I said 10 years
dude,
old.
Dude, you got roasted, dude. It's all right. Just take the L.
No,
let's
no,
keep
no.
Moving,
somebody
dude.
Said 2008 or 2009. That's all I'm
no.
saying. Yes.
I did say 2009 once.
But even
but
then,
that was before you started arguing.
Even
then,
you would have been 14 or 15 still.
No.
14 probably.
What do you mean 14?
Dude, because you're 5 years older than him.
Okay.
He's 20, you're 25.
I was born in December of 95.
You're 5 years older than him.
So you were born in April of 2000.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, basically almost 5 years older than you. Yeah.
All right. I'd like to take this time to thank the sponsor of this podcast, which is Steezy Kane. www.steezykane.com. Get your beautiful merch. Click the link in the description if you're watching on YouTube, or just type it in if you're on Spotify. The new Small Dick Big Dreams colorful collection is now live. The hoodies are gone, unfortunately, but you can still get your Small Dick Big Dreams stickers that you can put on your cars or windows if they're 30 inches or more,
or buses,
or buses, city buses preferably.
Bus.
And the double-sided t-shirts are now or still available, and they'll always be available. So yeah, go cop those. Thank you, Steezy Kane, for sponsoring this episode.
Who's how is Steezy Kane so we're gonna get money from Steezy Kane? Is that what you're telling me? Because this podcast never received any money from Steezy Kane. But I guess we're gonna get free lunch after this. Okay, cool.
No, I mean, I want to. So this next drop that's happening on 420, I'm so fucking excited for it.
Oh yeah, so
I'm so proud of that shit.
Yeah, so like, Phil managed all the designs for the next drop, which is yes on 420.
No, but I think like overall, just the whole concept, because you came up with the concept. I just added designs, which is like barely just giving designers instructions. But I think like the how everything came together towards the end, like even the poster concept, that was the, I'm like continuing to be impressed by that.
Yeah.
So I'm really happy with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm excited for you guys to see those posters. They are amazing.
Yeah, I'm excited
too. Phil did a good job on picking out the designers because they did very well. And this is the first merch drop where I didn't design, even though the pieces that I have designed have basically just been text. but yeah, I'm excited. 420 straight edge. Stay tuned. All right, so where was I?
Well, we're saying because at 10 years old you were dropping Skittles or
oh
M&Ms.
Yeah, but we finished that story.
No, but I was gonna say so you were doing that at 2010.
Mm-hmm.
What were you doing in 2010?
He already said he graduated from sixth grade.
No, because he's 15. 2010.
Let's not go in that whole circle talk.
I think
again,
I was
please.
In ninth grade.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think I was in ninth grade. Like, I didn't come here to the U.S. until I was towards the end of my 17 years old.
Damn.
So, I mean, I was in fucking a small town in Costa Rica with 50,000 people, I think. I didn't even know what the fuck YouTube was, like, fully. Like, I used to watch Ray William Johnson, and that's about it. That's, like, the only show. I didn't watch Shane Dawson or anything like that. That was, like, the only show. And besides that, I used YouTube for, you know, watching music videos like Coldplay and Foo Fighters and all this other shit. What were you doing in 2010?
2010?
Yeah, what were
fuck,
you doing?
Fuck, dude. I graduated in 2012.
Really?
Oh my God, dude. I gotta stop saying dude, by the way. But yeah, 2010, I was a sophomore, I guess.
You're fucking old, dude.
In school. That was 16. Yeah, 1 year older than you.
Yeah, but what were you doing?
Sophomore, I mean, dude, my leg. Oh, that was when my leg got fucked up, my knee.
What happened?
Yeah, and I was going to be the best soccer player in the world. Trust me. I was practicing every day, more than 4 hours a day. Any time I had was practicing soccer, back to back. And then I got a torn meniscus. And of course, you're Mexican, or I'm Mexican, and you don't go to the doctor. So I just kept playing. And it got swollen, and I kept playing until I couldn't move my knee. And now the ambulance is coming. But
sophomore year?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore year, I also got an injury. I got plantar fasciitis. I think that's how you say it.
What is that?
But it's like, I probably said that way off.
No, I think it's pretty accurate.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But basically the flat part of your foot that's on the bottom. Oh, yeah. No. It's the flat part and the part that comes up here. Basically, it's being pulled the wrong way. So when you walk, it hurts so bad. So I had to get like insoles are a way to treat it, but like really big insoles.
Mm.
Is it better? That went on for like 2 years in high school.
Wait, so what does that mean? How did you get that? Genetics?
I don't know. I think skating without insoles, like skating down 5 stairs and like landing really hard on your feet over and over.
So your foot just became flat?
Yeah. And I used to not skate with insoles because my favorite skater, Trevor Colden, doesn't skate with insoles. So I was like, I want to be like this guy.
That kind of goes to show that you do dumb shit if the people you look up to do dumb shit.
It does.
That's why straight edge. You
know what I'm saying? Yeah, exactly.
Don't do drugs.
But of course, I want to say that message, like, not like, oh, I want everybody to be sober. You can't do drugs.
You're not condemning.
Because usually when I'm at a... No. I'm saying like, hey, I'm just letting you guys know I'm sober.
Right.
I don't need drugs to have a good time. But I'm not like forcing other people to be sober, because usually when I'm at a party, the conversation comes up all the time. Like somebody's like, hey bro, you want a drink? Let me give you a drink. Oh bro, hit this blunt. And I'm like, no bro, it's all good, I'm sober. And then they usually go like, oh really, wow, why? But they also start to think that I have a hatred towards it.
Gotcha.
You know, they usually tell me, yeah bro, I'm trying to quit too, you know, this isn't like, I want to stop doing this as well. And then I tell them, no, I mean, I don't have anything against it. Like, you can smoke that blunt right next to me.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's just like, it's a personal choice. I just don't want to.
Yeah, but deep inside, you know you're better than them.
No.
Come on, dude.
No, it's just.
Deep inside, you know, dude, I'm way better than you. Keep smoking your joint.
Because I know I would be the exact same as them if I, you know. Maybe
the exact same as them?
No. Whoa, so no. You're saying they're lower?
No. No. Huh? I'm just saying if I tried it once,
right,
when I'm older, because I have tried it before when I was like 15, but I know that if I were to smoke right now, I would probably open that door and it would be kind of hard to stop. So I don't blame anybody, and I don't have any, you know, lower viewing of anybody who does it.
Right.
I actually think it's cool.
You think doing drugs is cool?
Yeah. No, it's cool. I'll say it's cool. You know, being able to smoke weed. Like, what I like about weed is like you can
what just happened, dude?
No, I'm just saying like weed makes you so much more poetic. You can write way better when you're on drugs. I'm not going to lie. Like, one of my history teachers told me she smokes weed before she writes poetry.
Damn.
She was a good teacher, by the way. A good teacher, but no, I just know that drugs can really like open up that creative mind.
No, I mean, and by the way,
I think,
dude,
that's true. Yeah,
but I would just personally.
So you're saying if we want to be creative, you should do drugs.
No, that's not what I'm saying. You can be fully creative as much as you could be when you're on drugs. It's just drugs gets you there faster.
So if you want to be a good creative faster, do drugs.
I don't know what you're saying anymore.
That's what you're saying.
Sure. I mean, it's a fact, so I'm not going to lie, but. Just me personally, I would rather want to, you know, get there, you know, sober.
Sober. Okay.
I don't know. I forgot my original point.
Drugs are good. That's what you were trying to say.
Sure. Drugs are good.
What were you going to say?
No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. Like,
drugs are good.
Well,
okay, all I'm just twisting my words.
No, I mean, I think, I mean, drugs feel good. That's why people do them.
Yeah.
So, but just because you can do something, doesn't mean you should.
Unless it feels really good. Dead do it.
Busting. I had a, actually had a dream last night.
What if you say this? This drug be buzzing, bro.
Hey, this drug's busting. No, I had a dream last night. Literally last night. Where I did cocaine.
Whoa. It wasn't a dream.
And and after I did the cocaine, friends were around me. I forgot who, but they were like, yo, look at something long enough and just wait. And I'm like, wait for what? And they're like, just look. So I look at somebody's face or something for like 10 seconds. And then their face starts to like distort.
Yeah.
It starts to move around. And I'm like, whoa, what the fuck? And I remember feeling really good. And then I thought to myself, damn, I just did drugs. Like, I just fucked up.
Damn.
I'm against my, you know, can't do the merch drop anymore. Fuck. People are going to call me a hypocrite.
Right.
And then I wake up. No, and then the cops come and I get arrested. And then I wake up and then I remember being so relieved.
So relieved?
No, so relieved.
Okay.
Dude, what's wrong with him?
What he said. He said sober.
I don't know. That story went nowhere, but.
No, I mean.
It was just cool that I had a dream and it like, I got arrested, you know, I don't know.
No, wait. So you're describing with like the face morphing and shit like that. It's strange that like, so like realistically, like if you did acid, that would happen. If you did cocaine,
mm-hmm, yeah,
it would be the equivalent of you drinking like five of those.
Yeah, no, I know cocaine doesn't do that.
How do you know that?
Movies and stuff. Okay. Cocaine is like coffee.
Testing.
Cocaine's like coffee. Xanax is like Z-Quil.
Oh.
Acid is like ketamine.
For someone who doesn't do drugs, you seem to know a lot about drugs.
Movies, TV shows.
Okay, yeah, movies.
Movies. Yeah.
Drugs are bad, okay. Here we go, looking at the time.
So let's we're kind of in the half mark right now. So let's use like this next half to kind of introduce who the fuck you guys are. Because
I thought we were going to do a separate one.
We've gotten some feedback.
What do you mean this is good?
No. Go ahead. Finish. We're interrupting you.
Okay. We've gotten some feedback from people who listen to the podcast. And they basically tell us that they don't know who the fuck Alejandro or Phil are. So I guess I'll start with explaining how I met you guys. And then that's when you guys can take it and say...
You want to do it in this one?
I mean, yeah, why not?
All right.
Or no, you guys just start first and then I'll say how I met you guys. Because you guys explain like your story.
Dude, explaining my story is going to take like 3 hours, bro.
This is when you got to really take your story skills into account. Storytelling skills. And you got to learn which parts to cut out in order to keep somebody engaged. Because if you think telling someone a 3-hour story, if you think they're going to stay in front of you.
Dude, I can make it happen. You know how much shit has happened in my life, dude?
You know who I am, big time. You need storytelling skills.
Bro.
Learn which parts to cut out.
Dude, you can condense.
And tell it in 7 minutes.
You're telling me you don't have 3 hours worth of your life that would keep people exciting?
No, but I mean, like, this is in the context of a podcast. So I think you can condense 20 minutes of your best events. Like, don't fucking say, in the beginning, there was light, you know? Like,
yeah. Okay, well, let me start it off. So, I'll first start with, like, at least, like, what you guys do in, you know, Steezy Kane.
The Steezy world.
So, Alejandro is, like, my, I would say, assistant director.
I mean, that's a good title. I appreciate that.
But basically an AD is like somebody who yells and amplifies everything.
Okay.
You're like the pusher.
Right.
So you're like the motivator. You're like a bulldozer. So you just kind of push you make shit happen.
Bulldozer.
Sometimes I might have an idea and I'll say, I don't know if we could do this. Alejandro's the guy to go like, wait, no. No, we can do this. Let's do this and this, and then we'll make it work.
Yeah,
let's do it right now. Let's go right now. Let's get all the tools that we need. That's all 100.
Like, how are we going to take the car to Vegas?
I don't know about that, man. That's probably not possible.
It's possible.
But anyways, yeah, that's basically all 100. And then Phil is like, I guess you can call him my manager. He does all the communications, emails, you know, works with brands, and, you know, now does the merch. He manages the designers, or how would you say it?
I fucking hate being called your manager, dude.
Really?
I think
that's a cool title, dude. I wouldn't cool mind being called his manager. I'll be like, fuck yeah, I manage this.
It feels so serious for like.
And then I'm your manager, dude. You know what? I'm everybody's manager.
No, I mean, I don't like when I say it. I'm saying it jokingly. It's not like I actually hate it, but I'm just like,
didn't
that's a lot of
jokingly.
Well, basically, like, yeah, I just, whenever people ask me, so what do you do for, I'm just like behind the scenes, like systems guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like the easiest. I help build systems for creators. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, you're like the,
no, I mean, your manager also works. Like a large part of my role is just, I guess, talking to companies and,
mm-hmm.
hey, I don't know, want to put this shit together. I hope you put it together. Managers also do that. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, this is how I would describe my job. Keeping Steezy alive. That's my job, dude. Keeping this guy alive. Make sure he doesn't die or do something crazy.
Yeah, I would say Alejandro's like the on-set, like in the field operations director. And I'm behind the scenes operations director. To be like, to pretty much keep you, he keeps you alive and I keep you not canceled in some way. So that's kind of like a good balance. Like he's pushing for more and I'm like, all right, let's slow down a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Phil's also the chief cancellation officer. Who said that? Who
I think Alejandro said
that. No. Somebody else, another friend.
Eric,
yeah.
Yeah, the chief cancellation officer.
Yeah,
it
was
officer.
Eric. The CEO.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this question, dude. What would you realistically, let's say we had to move to LA with you, where would you say you would be at? Like, how would you see your life right now? Like, how many videos would you be posting? What you would be working on?
I would
on?
Still be editing my videos. And I would still probably be posting once a month.
Would you, where would you say you would be? Like, would you be living like, like how would you say your life would look like? Like if you could picture you moving here on your own, what would you say your life would be like?
I don't know. That's a very broad question. I would just say like slower. Weird one is I would be happier.
Yeah.
Because when. Before
that hurt, dude.
No.
Let it slide.
This is how I mean that.
Dude, he looks at me. He goes, "I would be happier."
No, okay. No, because before. Whenever,
thank you.
No, because before when I was doing everything on my own, like editing my own videos, and like you know, the whole system relied on just me.
Right.
I could kind of go at my own pace.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, make more of my own decisions. Mm. So. I would be happier, but it would be more like delusional happiness.
Yeah, you'd be comfortable.
You know, like the guy who, the homeless guy on the beach who, you know, sleeps in his tent.
Yeah.
He's very happy, but he's also like not going down the best path, you know. Because it's very, definitely, the last 10 months have been like stress. Fucking stress, bro. Like not getting enough sleep. And making all these quick decisions and handling fucking, not even exaggerating, 7 projects in the same week. But I know it's temporary until everything kind of gets automated, which it is. It's definitely gotten a lot easier. But it's grind time, baby. We're big time.
Big time.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh yeah. Okay. So now going on to who you guys are. You know, just for the audience, this is your chance to get to know Alejandro and Phil. But I mean, who wants to go first?
I think
explaining
Phil should
your story.
Go first.
And remember to have storytelling skills. Don't go on for too long. Like,
dude, I was born to tell stories.
Don't go on for like 15 minutes.
Dude, you know what a director does? Tell stories. I've been telling stories since I was a jit.
And I'll be trying to engage so it can, like, you know.
Okay, well, I want to kind of see Alejandro shine so I can learn from you.
No, I want to see you shine.
No, I don't. I'll pick somebody.
The thing is, I'll shine too much that your shine would be enough.
I'll pick for you. Phil, go first.
Thank you, Stevie. Appreciate that.
Well, I guess, like, in context, relevant to what the viewer would be interested in, like, I met Steezy, I think it was like 4 years ago. It was quite some time ago. I lose track of time very quickly. But you had 7,000 subscribers at the time.
I had 700.
700?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You remember that better than I do. But you were with one of your friends, and I was listening to music on the way back from work, and I just had somebody run up behind me, and I just see Steezy be like, "Hey, what are you listening to?" And I was like, "What the fuck?" I was like, "I don't know." I said some music, I guess, and I was like, "Is that porn?"
Terrible.
And then
prank.
I was so confused. I was just like, "I don't know what's happening right now." So I was like, "Ah, yeah," and I just put my headphones and kept walking. And I was just like, well, that was a minor event that I'm probably going to forget. And then you ran back up to me and you're like, "Hey, I'm just kidding. I do YouTube." And I was like, "Oh, cool. I also do YouTube, you know, because I'm very friendly and open." And, you know,
I think you might have had more subscribers than Steezy at that point.
No.
No, yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
No, you did.
I remember watching your videos later that night and seeing you have a CVS uniform. And that's when I texted you. I was like, "Oh, bro, I work at CVS too." But we worked at two different CVS's.
Oh, so I met him when I was living in Kyle then.
No, yeah, I remember.
Yeah, so that was quite some time ago. Yeah, that was like the worst year of my life. That was literally the worst fucking year of my life in every single aspect. And I kind of like preface this because, I mean, life is incredible right now. That was a year where we had worked for another YouTuber. And we had lived in Santa Monica, and we're living the dream personally. When I moved here the first time for like 3 months, and we're living in Santa Monica, dude, we went to Hollywood Boulevard. I saw a Tyler the Creator Nuts and Bolts billboard, and that was just like a little spark as to like, oh my God, dude, I'm here in Hollywood. I'm about to like do all these amazing projects. Uh-huh. We were living in Santa Monica for about 3 months while we were working for this other YouTuber, and I was like, you know, pure euphoria. I was really happy that we're here in Hollywood. To me, it was a dream come true type thing. Things didn't end up working the way we wanted to, so we end up moving back to Texas. And when we moved back to Texas, the whole idea was, like, Alejandro and I decided, let's just rent a house and we'll do YouTube on our own terms, and just have fun. You know, make it like a creative endeavor, no restrictions, pure fun. And I was like, okay, I'm down with that. So it was really hard to fucking say bye to California, even though like I knew it was the thing that had to happen, because it was just like, oh, dude, all this fucking effort, and then I'm finally here, and now I have to go back. So we go back and move to this house in the suburbs, super fucking far away from the city, not creative at all, and then start the fucking worst year of my life in the aspect that I didn't have a job. I started working construction because Alejandro helped me like get this job. And my lower back started fucking killing me because I was like, as I was shoveling, like you're leaning down all the fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like 2 months of some of the most arduous work I've ever done in my life, where I'm like, holy shit, these Mexicans know how to work. Like no one can ever say they're taking our jobs. Like that job is killer. And I did it for 2 months. We were like replacing water pipes and it was cold and muddy. And damn. Sometimes we did a 22-hour shift. And dude,
22-hour shift?
Yeah, because you have to replace.
What the fuck?
They're government contracts, so sometimes you just have to like do it. You just have to make it happen.
You're not exaggerating at
all? I'm not exaggerating.
Damn.
So you would just keep working and working and working. And in my head, it's just like my brain convinced me, oh, I guess this is never going to end. This is a new normal.
Yeah, that's not very creative.
No, not at all. Not at all, dude. And but I was very grateful, you know, because I got this job and Alejandro was able to help me. But it physically, like my body couldn't take it, and I was a little bitch too. So that also played a big factor. And I was like, dude, I can't be doing this job. I need to get another job. And I was struggling for money, and rent was $400. But even then, like there's all these other bills coming in, and shit was hard. And I got that job at CVS basically, and it was a part-time job, and I had another job at Lowe's. So it was like these two part-time jobs. Like, And I was just like, dude, my life fucking sucks. I literally went from Hollywood all the way down to Kyle, Texas. And I was like, this is shit. We weren't making videos. You know, Alejandro was making like these music reaction
videos. No, I was making videos, dude. I think I put out like 20.
You didn't put out any videos.
No, dude, you were editing them. What do you mean?
No,
circle
I edited.
Circle talk.
Anyways,
circle
Alejandro talk. Was doing, he, I edited two 20. Of his, your videos.
You wanted like five.
Two.
Five.
I have really good memory. But anyways.
You just said you have bad memory.
Circle
no,
talk.
I have really good memory.
You literally circle just said talk. You had bad memory.
Circle talk.
So anyways, I think during that whole year, that was essentially, yeah, like a total of six videos maybe in one fucking year. It was like one every two fucking months. And then I was like, wow, this is shit ass, complete shit ass. And eventually we moved out of the house and I moved in with my parents. I was working these sales jobs and I hated my life. But it was a little bit less, you know, I was a little less depression because I was making a little bit more money and I wasn't struggling for rent at the very least. And then that's where we met, you know. And I guess
that you met when he was
Kyle. Yeah, we did met when I was going through like the bullshit year. Fast forward, I don't know what you were doing like during the next couple of years. I don't think we really met after that point.
No,
well,
yeah,
you invited me to
shoot.
You invited me to shoot a Vans commercial.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I had this.
I have great memory, looking ass, dude.
No, because but timeline is blurry. So we.
I did photography at this point. I would just ask people like, hey, let me shoot photos for you and stuff. And then you asked me to shoot this. You're doing like a Vans contest.
Yeah, I was like, Vans posted this thing. Hey, you know, Vans, hashtag Vans.
Yeah,
bullshit.
Just a creative outlet thing.
And I was just like, you know what? Let me just hit somebody up and make a stupid video, you know. And I pitched this thing. I put it together like in a day. CZ said yes to, you know, taking pictures for me. And I was surprised because at the time, how many subs did you have?
That was when I was blowing up. So I think I just hit like 100K or something.
No, yeah. Fuck no, dude. He wasn't at 100K.
He had a lot of subs to the point where I'm like, oh, why the fuck did he say yes to taking pictures for me? That was where my head was at. I was like,
but I don't think you noticed until after we took the photos.
No, correct. Correct. Yeah. So after the fact, I was just like, damn, okay. And I was just like, dude, the pictures came out amazing. I put out the little video. I guess we kept in touch from that point on. You know, life kept getting better. I started working out, working with one of my best friends, learning how to like make systems, essentially like, you know, put things together so you're not like burning out and doing everything yourself. And that was one of the best jobs that I've had in my life because it was like, you know, pure bliss. I got to make my own hours and this is how, you know, I was able to like, I guess, put shit together for Steezy's merch and kind of, you know, be part of the team and be useful, essentially, was like a year before we moved here. From that point, Alejandro, like, we've been in this YouTube bullshit, you know, little hurricane type thing for, I don't even know, it feels like 5 years. After a certain point, you stop counting all the failures. And then after that, he calls me at one point. I was like, dude, I finally paid my debt. Okay. Which was a big deal at the time. Cause I was like,
it was a huge deal for Phil. He's been in debt his whole life.
Dude, it was like,
tell him how you first got in debt. Cause he does. I'm sure.
Yeah. I guess to add to the story selling skills, because I'm trying to keep this brief, but there is so much information. I had in 2015, I bought a 2015 Mazda 3. It was a brand new fucking car.
Oh yeah.
And the payments were like $600 a month. It was a lot, you know, at the time. And damn. I had to pay rent. And that was when I moved in with Alejandro, like, you know, whenever we first started hanging out. And then I got repossessed. And
you forgot why it got repossessed.
Yeah, because I missed the payments like 3 months ago.
No,
because
he hit a raccoon.
Oh, my God.
Dude, how is this guy forgetting everything? The car was $20,000.
So
damn,
it was it was a really nice car. I had amazing credit. I had, you know, a good chunk of money.
He was gonna buy a house.
When I first moved here at 17 years old, I guess to fast track that portion.
He forgets everything, bro.
No, because like, dude, I'm in my head. I'm like, I was so pressured to like make this.
How does your car get repossessed because he hit a raccoon? I don't understand that.
You will.
Like the raccoon nation just goes like, oh, you sinned. Let me take your car.
Yeah. By the way, anyone listening right now, appreciate the patience with this. I'm going to give you like a 1 minute fast track of me first moving here to America, and then we'll get to the 45 second raccoon story. When I moved here at 17 years old.
Dude, we should have done like a Phil sits there and we both interview him type of episode. That's what I was thinking. You know, like how we do with guests.
Let's stop cutting him off.
All right, go.
For it. Because that would have been a good idea because I'm all over the place.
That's what I was
like in my head. I'm like,
you guys get so distracted. No, well, the story. What the fuck is going on?
I'm saying, dude, you're missing a lot of who you are because you're going so fast and you're skipping so many great parts about you. Because for example, I want to ask you, how come you want to do YouTube?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the real Phil story. You know, like, oh, what about this? And then you talk and you have this long rants. That's the real you. Now this like quick.
Yeah, dude.
He's not doing justice to his story.
I'm going really fucking fast and sporadic. And then, I mean, I know I've been going for like 10 minutes.
All right, then let's save this episode for just Phil. And then we'll do you on the next one.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Just so you don't feel pressured to rush, you know?
Right. Do you want to sit on that one and me and Steezy interview?
Yeah, let's do that. Because it'll help my...
All right. Hang on. We're going to do some...
All right, dude. Steezy, welcome to this side of the couch, dude.
Wow. This is how it looks over here.
Exactly,
what the fuck?
Dude. That's how it looks. Welcome to the big boy.
This is crazy.
So let's start. Let's start from the beginning. It's a guess.
Well, you already told... You kind of did like this Christopher Nolan timeline thing. Skip back and forth.
I mean, it's completely fucked.
So, okay, we'll just ask you the question that Alejandro asked. Why do you want to do YouTube?
Why do I want to do YouTube? Well, I had to kind of explain the beginning then, because when I was... No, I mean, I do feel like a guest right now, but I'll make it good. So, dude, as a kid... As a kid, I was always...
What was that?
No, as a kid, I didn't talk until I was 3 years old. So there's this whole ongoing joke in my family where, like, I mean, you guys know me. You guys know I could talk fucking forever,
mm-hmm.
You know, and the podcast kind of knows this at this point. And I didn't talk for the first 3 years of my life. My mom thought, you know, I didn't have the ability to speak. So she was like, oh, my God, you know, and we're in Costa Rica. And then all of a sudden I started, like, obviously picking up more. And I was very shy. Like, I was very to myself. I really didn't make friends because we were homeschooled, living in Costa Rica. Like, it was like this whole isolated environment. And the only thing that kind of gave me like a real world experience for up until seventh grade, where I went to public school eventually, was every Friday, my family would rent movies. And I would love that fucking day. We would watch like, you know, four or five movies across the weekend.
Damn.
And I remember
that's why he knows every.
That's why he
movie.
Knows all this shit about movies.
Yeah, no, I mean it was like
every time we put a movie on, he's like, "Oh my god, is that a
names the
that
actor.
That one actor
names the director?"
And we're like, "Yeah, this is a 1950 movie. Like, why do you know this?"
Yeah,
anyway, anyways,
no, I think it's because you know we didn't have we weren't poor. We just didn't have a lot, so it was just like this thing where like renting movies is easy, and getting cable in Costa Rica back then I think was expensive for whatever reason. But I remember the first movie that I saw that I was like, I want to make people feel that way. It was called It's a Wonderful Life, and it's a Christmas movie. And the short version of the story is there's this guy who's really good. You know, he treats everyone really well. He's a good person. He provides for his family. He sacrifices going to college so he can take care of his family and his brother can go to college. You know, that kind of personality. And he ends up getting screwed over by life over and over again to the point where he snaps. You know, he's about to lose his business. He lost like $8,000 and he becomes like mean a little bit. He's like, what the fuck? Basically, you know, he's like, everything's ruined. And his wife is like, this is not like you. And he's runs off, you know, into the middle of town and it's December. It's snowing and he's going to kill himself. And when he's on the bridge about to jump, an angel talks to him and he's like, I'm going to show you the world. As if you didn't exist, you know, and then he shows him if he didn't exist and then how miserable all the people that he impacted positively, how their lives were. You know, it's like, oh, there's this guy who you help approve for a loan because you own this bank. And if you didn't do that, he would be homeless. There's this other woman who was able to like, you know, provide,
wow,
you know, health, you know, for her kid because of you. And he basically runs him through his whole life. He's like, you've done an incredible job. And then he starts crying, runs back to his family. He was like, I did it. And then somebody, you know, who he blessed, who he positively impacted, ends up giving him a sum of money to pay off the debt, and he keeps his business. And it's like this beautiful movie. It's like Christmas classic. I remember like watching that. I was very young. I don't know how old I was, but I was like, that moment is very vivid in my brain. I was like, whatever I felt as I watched that movie, I want to be able to do that. But I didn't know what that was. And then fast forward a couple of years, it was like, you know, I was in ninth grade or some shit like that. And I saw Changeling with Angelina Jolie. And it's where she loses her kid. And I saw...
Everything's about movies.
Yeah. I mean, it was like my dad introduced me to The Godfather and, you know, Goodfellas. And then my mom introduced me to all these rom-coms from the 80s and 90s. Like, it was so many movies all the fucking time.
Damn.
Like, that was my entire fucking life, you know, for a long time. And I loved it. I just love, you know, just completely losing yourself in a movie. But essentially, I saw that movie with Angelina Jolie, and there's a scene where there's a lawyer at the end, you know, giving this incredible speech. And I was like, whoa, like, I want to do that. And I was like, oh, I think I want to be a lawyer, you know. So I talked to my mom, and she was like, are you sure? Okay, I guess you argue all the time, so you might be a good lawyer. So one of her friends was a lawyer, and he was like, I'll let you talk to him just so you can ask him what it is like. And then I explained, you know, this whole story that I just told you about, like, oh, I saw this movie and a lawyer was giving a speech, and I want to be able to do that. Like, it was just so cool. And he was like, oh, that's nothing at all like what it is to be a lawyer. You're reading all this bullshit all the time. You have to do the bar test or whatever. And you have to learn all these laws, and they're always changing. And he basically deflated my dream of becoming a lawyer. I'm like, yeah, I don't want to do that shit. What in reality I was saying, I was like, oh, I want to be an actor. I want to perform. You know, because the way the actor or the movies kept making me feel, I was like, I want to be able to do that.
Yeah. And then after that, you watched a movie about you, a YouTuber.
A movie by a YouTuber?
Yeah, because it seems like all the movies are like guiding you.
Oh, because the question was, why do you want to be a YouTuber?
Yeah.
So no, I mean, I guess let's get back a little bit to that, because that's what's going on right here.
Yeah. So essentially,
I was making a joke. It didn't land.
No, wait.
Yeah. Never mind. Continue.
Yeah, I mean, essentially, I mean, I'm just going to explain my story of what the fuck, and along the way, you'll get the answer you need.
Okay.
Sit the fuck back down.
No, I wasn't saying that you were taking
long. I know. I'm just playing.
Hurry up, bitch.
And, yeah, I mean, as you get older, you get a little bit more confident, like, and you start to realize a little bit more about what you want. You have all these small experiences, and you're like, oh, I really don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be this. I want to do that. And then Jim Carrey happened and Ace Ventura movies. And I was like, whoa, that's it. Like, movie like this, you know, his face is like elastic at that point, and he's making me laugh till I fucking cry. Like, my entire family loves him. And it was like this, he became like this icon to me of like, oh, I'm going to try to imitate that. So I started doing it in high school, and then I was making my classmates laugh so much so to the point where my math teacher would be like, hey, if you get everyone to do their work in the first period, I'll let you put on a play on the second period. You know what I mean? So I kind of convinced, I put the nerds together with the guys who were fuck ups. And I was like, hey, you help him, you help that. I was like a little director almost. And then we got all our work done, and the second period comes in. I was like, all right, Phil, the class is yours. And I was like, all right, we're going to do this play where, like, I'm a prison warden or some shit like that. And then I'd be like, I'm an old lady. I need a husband. You know what I mean? Like, I'll do, like, all these stupid, silly shit. And I would just make everyone in my class laugh, because I was just, like, so driven by the fact that, like, oh, if Jim Carrey can do it, like, I want to be able to, like, just imitate that. So that eventually led me down the YouTube rabbit hole. When I moved here at 17 years old, I made a first YouTube video. I bought Adobe Premiere Elements, which is like the child version of Premiere Pro. And I bought a camera. No, I didn't even have a camera. I used the camera from the laptop at that point. And I was like, I'm just going to tell a story. And the whole video was like, how to pick up girls. 13 ways to pick up girls. And the first
What made you make that video?
Because
that's like a weird...
What year was that?
That was
2013-ish?
No,
that was 2017.
Yeah. That's 2013, maybe.
Yeah, that is 2013.
Oh, okay. Then that was like the period of all the pickup videos on YouTube. That was like, you know, the
simple pickup
and all that. Okay. So yeah,
but
sense.
I was more inspired by like talk in front of the camera, not interacting with people, because at that point I hadn't really
I'm just saying that's probably why you chose that topic.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the whole concept to me is just like, well, I don't have any friends here in the States. And I was living with like old people. So I was just like, I can't really use them for videos. It's just me. So I was just like, I'm going to make a silly video of me acting stupid in front of the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you have to be romantic. And then I'd be like, so I was like a 13-step guide. And I remember step one, you have to surprise them. And then it cuts to the next scene where it's just like the camera showing my room and I'm not in the frame. And then I, bah! You know? And then I like, I jump in front of the camera and then it cuts. Step two, you have to be romantic. And then I sort of put like pillows, you know, pretending to be a person, and I grab flowers from outside and I just fucking chunk it at the, I was like, love me, you know, those kind of jokes where it's just like very loud and high energy type shit. And I was just like, okay, I like this. So, you know, I eventually got a camera, started making videos of me riding around the bike. You know, that was, I started getting so fucking excited for that. And one of the problems that happened was I let people dissuade me from pursuing that. So I was living with, when I came here to the States, I was living with some friends of the family at that time. And they weren't really like too much into the idea of me making videos. And like, there was a whole bunch of other shit happening essentially. But I let other people sort of like, oh, you know, you should probably shouldn't pursue that. You know, get a job, start earning enough money, buy a house, that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like, okay, I'm going to put this YouTube thing to the side.
Why did you let their opinions like weigh on you though?
I think it was because I looked up to them in the sense of like, oh, they're really close friends of the family. And up until that time, I had a very healthy upbringing. My parents were like, oh, you know, they kind of instilled confidence in me. And they were like, hey, you know, they're doing us this favor of taking you in. They're great. They're amazing. So I was just like, okay, I can trust them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was more of a trust thing where I'm like, okay, I might be wrong because I'm just like, you know, 17-year-old kid. There must be a reason why they're telling me this. And so that ended up happening and I got this sales job. I started making pretty good money because I wasn't really paying bills or anything. And I earned like I had like $15,000 in the bank account. I was about to put a down payment because I had like 730 credit score. Like I was doing everything right to buy a house in Texas and that would have been my life. Basically have this job, own a house, probably eventually get married and, you know, shit out a couple kids. And and it was like one of those things where as I'm in the process of buying a house, I'm talking to the realtor and I was like, dude, I can't do this. If I do this, I die. That's the way I felt. I was just like, there was something kind of pushing against that idea. And I was like, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. So I kind of just like decided not to and, you know, kept working these fucking jobs and trying to figure out. Occasionally I would pick up a camera and just make a video. But at that time, when you start becoming more of an adult and paying bills, life hits you fucking hard. Reality comes at you quick to where like, oh, you need to have a budget. You need to eat right. You can't be eating out all the fucking time because the stress of money is new. This is something that you don't experience up until you kind of move out of your parents' house for the most part. And then from that...
That's also when you experience like food not like magically appearing in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
That's weird. Like,
oh, mom is
like,
not here.
Oh, I have to go to the grocery store and restock. Huh.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. You know what I mean? Because it is one of those things where you kind of have to grow up quickly. So, you know, I got this apartment. I'm worrying about bills now. I'm not thinking about YouTube at all. You know, it was one of those things I'm surviving.
How old were you at this point?
I think I just turned 21 or something like that. Is that timeline right? No, because I moved here at 17. Right. No, it was sorry, a year and a half. No, I think it was 19, not 21. Definitely not 21. It was 19. And so I was 19, you know, working. I kept working. And then, yeah, it's like that whole existential crisis and you have to pay bills and you start getting depressed. And I was eating like shit. All my friends around me were not really doing a lot. They were doing heavy drugs type of shit. Like, I used to hang out, like one of the first jobs that I had was Subway. And I made friends with the people at Subway. And I remember like the friendship progressed and he eventually introduced me to all his friends. And I remember driving the car and I had them in the car. and one of them started cutting cocaine in my center console. And I looked over to the right. I remember seeing none of the cocaine. I was like, dude, I cannot be hanging out with these people. Like, damn. How the fuck do I go from, you know, being Costa Rica, my dad was a pastor and all this other shit, and now, like, there's this person cutting cocaine. I realized, okay, all my friends are fuck ups. Like, I'm not doing anything with my life. I got to start, like, growing out of it. So, I mean, all this shit, like, months, you know, weeks turn into, days turn into weeks turn into months, months turn into years. Before you know it, you're like 22, 23. And, I met Alejandro. This is where he comes into my life, because I remember I was super depressed in my apartment. And I was like, I kind of want to make friends who are not fuck ups. They're not doing cocaine or anything like that. So it was there was this self-help Facebook group who were like doing business shit and stuff like that.
Damn.
I'm not.
It was
kidding.
A self-help thing.
Yeah.
It was.
That's how you guys met.
Yeah, it was a self-help Facebook group, and I posted something saying, hey. You know, if anybody kind of wants to link up, I live here in Austin. You know, these are my interests. Like, I want to improve myself and not be a piece of shit. And I had Maurice, who's one of our other friends, hit me up. And yeah, I think it was like two other guys who are just, you know, I haven't talked to them in years. But the other person I kept up with was with Maurice. And he was like, hey, I'll meet you up. So we met downtown and we're hanging out. And I was like, oh, Maurice is cool. And then we went to like this conference, this event that they were having. I was there and, you know, the guy's talking about how to improve yourself, how to have good habits and, you know, get enough sleep, eat right, all that kind of shit. And then all of a sudden in the front row, so I'm in the back, right? In the front row.
Here we go.
I see this guy
get up. This is how Alejandro appears in the universe.
Dude, you have to understand, just to paint a picture,
there was like 200 people.
Yeah, there was a lot of fucking people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like at a hotel Hilton type shit, like a conference room. It was a lot of fucking people. They're there with their laptops, you know, notebooks, taking notes. Like, it's a proper event. It's a little bit more mature in that aspect.
Mm-hmm. And then what is all 100? Yeah.
So, you know, he's talking about, you know, having good habits and stuff like that. And I just see this guy literally in the front row get up and he was like, I just have one question. And the guy who's on the stage, he's like, he wasn't taking questions, by the way.
No, I think he was. I think he wasn't. I think he was.
Well, maybe. Let's say he was, right? But even then, he gets up and I was like, oh, this fucking guy. Even as the way he got up, I was just like, this guy is a little too entitled. Like, I don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, what did he say?
And he's like, yeah, I have a question. And he does this. He looks around like, get a load of this shit, guys, what I'm about to say.
What the fuck did he say?
The suspense, right?
So much suspense.
What are those? And he screams that in the middle of the conference. I'm telling you, he screamed it.
Now, did he walk away or did he sit back down?
No.
He sat
back down and the room was so quiet. The room was so quiet, dude.
Bro, that's such a different Alejandro.
No, this is because nobody was old there. I assume people were young and would get... I even told my friend. I was like, look, no one's going to laugh at this, but I have to do it because I have to get out of my comfort zone. That's what I told my friend. I knew no one was going to laugh.
Wow.
But I had to do it to get out of my comfort zone.
I wouldn't do that.
So I'm like, I'm going to do this. I know no one's going to laugh, but I have to do this. So I did it.
Well, why did you tell yourself you have to do this?
Because it was getting out of your shell type of shit.
Uh-huh.
It's like that. It's like you got to do stuff to put yourself in embarrassing situations or just get out of yourself.
Was he saying that in that moment?
No, that's what they were talking about. Like, yo, you got to go out, do stuff, you know, do stuff you're afraid of, blah, blah, blah.
And so you disrupt the whole self.
No, he was asking questions.
It was, yeah, but I mean, it was just one of those things where I saw this and my first thought was like, fuck this guy. I'd never want to be friends with people like that. They're so obnoxious and loud, dude.
But I don't get it. How did you go from that to, you know...
When he saw me.
Yeah, but how did you guys meet?
That's when he first saw me.
I've never understood that part of the story. Like,
so we're about to get there. So basically, I mean, we're at this conference. I don't know who Alejandro is. I haven't met him. Uh-huh. I just see him do this, and eventually I end up finding out it's Alejandro, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's just a random fucking dude who's like being loud and annoying. And I was like, oh my God, dude. And then he's wearing this baseball cap and had... you were wearing a white shirt, baseball cap, construction boots for some reason, because you were working construction, I guess, at the time. And the guy, as soon as Alejandro says that, he was like, oh, I can already tell your problem. You're too self-entertained. You're not aware of how people feel around you.
Which I was, but I was trying to get out of my shell. So I think
you still are like that. Yeah,
No. But I'm saying like, basically, dude, I beat this guy at his own game. He just was too much. No, dude.
Exactly.
Here's why. If he was a good teacher, he would have said, oh, I'm talking about getting out of your shell. That's what this guy did. But he didn't get it because he wasn't smart enough. So I just let him slide. I was like, yeah, dude, okay, whatever. But keep going, dude.
No, I mean, it was such an Alejandro thing, right? And then after that, I was with one of our other friends, Maurice. And we ended up also meeting Jack there. So Jack was there. You know, Jack Melly. That's
crazy.
And I had messaged Jack before I even knew it was Jack. Because I had a fake Facebook profile. And Jack hit me up. Well, anyways, that's another story, but
yeah. No, I guess to long story short, in that, you know, that business conference kind of like, you know, nurtured like four friendships essentially, almost, or like three friendships, I would say.
Well, Maurice brought me to your house or to your apartment.
No, exactly. So Maurice, at this point, I know him, right? And we're at the conference and stuff like that. And then I keep talking to Maurice, and I had told Maurice, hey, I'm about to move out from this place that I'm living at, like this apartment complex. I was like, oh, dude, there's a guy from the business conference that is looking for roommates. I was like, I think you should move in with him. You know, you guys are both self-help guys type shit. And then in my head, I would have never assumed it was the guy who was screaming at the front row.
That's crazy.
But he pulls up to my apartment and I see the fucking guy with the baseball cap. And
I don't think I was wearing a baseball cap.
I remember that whole Alejandro. I mean, I remember the pictures. Like, always had a hat. Skinny blonde tips all braces.
No, that's a different one. No, dude, that's completely different.
No,
that was before he even had braces.
Yeah, that was only
before he had braces.
It's not too far from the point. You were wearing a baseball cap, white shirt, these jeans, and construction boots.
I'll show you a picture later what it looked like.
But anyways, I mean, he pulls up to the apartment. Alejandro was like, "Yeah, man, you know, I'm creative as well." And he shows me this mixtape that he made. So Alejandro had made a mixtape. And then we listened to the whole thing. And I don't know if we did. We listened to like three songs, maybe.
Yeah, I think three songs. Cringy, dude. The most cringy thing you could think of.
Alejandro was like this.
The most cringy thing.
So it's me, Maurice, and Alejandro in my room. And Alejandro's like this. Yeah, let's play. And the lights were off. It was like dim. And he was doing this.
I thought it was cool, dude.
Dude, he was bopping his head with his eyes closed. And I was just like, okay. Kind of respect that he's into it, and I was just like, it's not my thing, but I was like, yeah, dude, that's cool, you know, whatever. And I was just like, yeah, you know what, I'll move in with you. I just need you to help me move my shit from this apartment down there. And he was like, oh, I have a truck. And he had like this black truck. And by the way, quick sidetrack, like the business conference, Jack offered us
I don't know if you want to say this.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to say.
Anyways, yeah, so we ended up moving with you. That's how we met. Like, we literally met one day and I decided, yes, I should move in with this human being.
I don't know. That's how it went. I don't know if that's how it went. Huh.
And we were there in Whitus, essentially.
And so what year was that?
2015,
2016. Wow. Yeah. 2016. Yeah, it was a while back. And
that's when I was cutting lawns.
Damn.
2016, I was mowing lawns.
Damn, you were 16 years old at the time. That's wild. No, but I mean, essentially, it was from there, you know, we just started. He asked me, hey, what do you need to make it on YouTube? Because I told him I wanted to be a YouTuber. I was like, yeah, that's one of the creative things. And I said, oh, I just need a laptop because I'm editing my fucking videos on this shitty ass laptop. So Alejandro buys me a laptop. Okay.
Damn.
Well, I told him, because this time, dude, I was working for the city. And you know how I just spend my money. Like, I always spend all my money. That's how I roll. So he was telling me about YouTube. And I was like, well, what's this YouTube shit?
You didn't know what YouTube was?
I kind of knew a little bit, but not as... He was telling me about Gary.
This is just when you were watching soccer videos and stuff?
Yeah, and I mean, old rap videos. I didn't like... Basically, you know how it's like, you see YouTubers, you're like, oh, I can never be that, so I'm not even going to look into it.
You just see it as like TV. Like,
yeah.
Oh, that's only meant for them.
Exactly. So he told me about this, and I was like... I'm like, okay, this sounds like a business idea. And I asked him. Because, dude, you know how Phil always, like, hypes himself up and all this shit? Like, yeah, dude, I can do this, blah, blah, it's crazy. I was like, all right. Because, dude, he was so sure of himself that he can make it as a YouTuber. And I didn't know what the fuck was going on. But I was like, let me, well, if he can make it, well, let me see this shit happen. I was like, dude, what do you need to be a YouTuber? Like, what do you need to be successful? And he says, dude, I just need a new laptop. Because this one keeps lagging, keeps crashing, and I can't post videos. I was like, here, pick any laptop. I'll buy it. And he picks like this expensive ass laptop, but I'm like, okay. It was like 2000 something. Uh-huh. 2000, dude. 2016.
That's crazy.
It was like a Razer.
Yeah, it was a fucking souped up laptop. It was $2,000. It was like 16 Wait, gigabytes. Where is it now? I
think he sold it.
Yeah,
sold
it. I gave it to my brother, and I didn't sell it.
I think I had $6,000, and this was $2,000 laptop. And I was like, "Fuck it, dude, let's buy it. Let's see what happens."
33% of his net worth.
So he buys it, and then what happened, Phil?
So he buys me this laptop. And I think at the time you also wanted to do a music video.
Yeah, I wanted to do music.
So it's just like, okay, we're kind of going to like, I guess, tag team creativity at that point. Like shooting music videos, and I was going to do my own thing. But yeah, I mean, insert the next 2 years of doing nothing. Literally. Like we started making.
How many videos did you make off of that laptop?
So there was a time where me and one of my other roommates were going hard. We're doing like skits, like comedy.
Well, I had
skits.
To force them to do skits because I walk in one night from work and I hear Family Guy play in his room and I hear Phil's laughing. You know how he laughs? I'm like, okay, dude, where's the videos at? So we did like this thing that like if they didn't post a video every day, then they had to pay me $100.
Yeah, that's correct.
So he was posting like 4 minute video, like 4 minute videos, which were they were great.
Yeah, dude, we had Rave Boy, Adventures of Rave Boy. Like, there were all these comedy skits that it's just like turn and burn type thing. You know what I mean? And yeah, there was a point where it just stopped because the roommate that I was doing them with, he was like, I'm kind of too tired to do it. I don't want to do it. And then I was like, and then I got lazy, you know? So it was like this whole thing. So Alejandro was like, dude, fuck it. If you guys aren't going to do it, I'm going to do like YouTube videos. So he started doing like this thing called prison vlogs. So he decorated.
What the fuck?
Okay.
Prison vlogs?
So the.
Please explain that.
Dude, this is an OG Alejandro.
It is show. A genius idea, but it's just never been it.
The whole point was if prisoners could vlog, okay? So he was like, well, I don't have access to prisoners. So let's just decorate your room as a prison. So he literally put this toilet in my room, he put this sink. He painted these white sheets to look like cells, like the, you know, the doors
mm-hmm.
closing and shit like that, like bricks and everything.
And how long did your room stay like that?
A long time. Dude, I even like sometimes I would have someone over. Okay. And they walk in my room and they're like, are you going to fucking kill me? What is going on right here, dude? It was so bad. And there's like these two foam mattresses that I was sleeping on. We used to call them cheese slices because it was just like these two comfortable foam mattresses. I couldn't even afford a mattress at that point. And yeah, whenever I was like with someone, I remember she was on top of me and she hit her head on the sink.
That you were with someone. Well, hold on. You were with someone and she was on top of you.
You know what that means, bro. Come on, Steve.
I'm trying. Yeah.
You know. If you're going to say she's on top of you, you might as well just say all of it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're hooking up and she was on top of me and she hits her head on the sink that Alejandro put there to decorate my room as a prison.
So which, by the way, dude, I just put that sink like that. Like, that shit could have fallen on their heads and killed them.
Yeah, dude, I didn't even think about that. Like, it wasn't properly secured or anything like that.
So were you all under the sink?
Yeah, because I didn't have a bed. So it was just like these two foam mattresses, dude, on the floor.
Oh, that's
I'm trying
that's
to
paint, like a cartoon.
Dude, yeah, I'm painting a picture here. So like it was just this is where our heads were at.
You guys are hooking up in a room that's decorated as a prison with like real metal sinks and toilets.
Yeah.
For Alejandro's prison vlogs.
Dude, it was
on cheese slices. Cheese slice mattresses.
Dude, it was wild.
I don't know how she agreed to that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole nother situation right there.
But
at the time, so here's where like the YouTube story kind of fast forwards to the Santa Monica, us living in Santa Monica, is during that time, Alejandro is watching this fitness YouTuber, right? He's a big fan of him. At the time, he had like 300,000 subs. So Alejandro's always really good, been good at networking and, you know, meeting people. So he meets him downtown 6th Street and he was like, yo, let's meet up. Let me be your cameraman and help you edit your videos. Because at the time he was getting a lot of traction. And then he was like, Phil, help me edit his videos and stuff like that.
Because I didn't know how to edit.
Yeah.
I just lied.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's was, good though.
He, we end up meeting Chipotle and then he was like, all right, yeah, we'll give it a go. You guys can help me film my videos and edit them. And then I remember I had hooked up with this girl, so I was tired as fuck.
Again?
Yeah, again. Another girl. Damn. And the next day, the fitness YouTuber was coming to our place to help edit a video, but I was so fucking tired, I couldn't even edit. Like, I was sleeping on my mat. I was passing out, so I was like, I got
to
take a nap.
And did you know how to edit at this point?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, because you make videos.
And Alejandro was like, well, Phil is fucking up. Like, we might lose this, so I'm just going to learn how to edit. So Alejandro started learning how to edit. And he ended up becoming the editor. And I was just depressed, not doing anything with my life. So I just fucking...
And what year was this?
2016, I think, right?
Still?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then from there, you know, Alejandro just started coming up with these fucking fire ideas for the fitness YouTuber. Where literally we saw in the course of like 6 months to 8 months, it was like a very short period of time, him go from 300,000 subs to 1 million like in Austin, but it was
damn,
it was fast. Like,
with your ideas,
I'm sure it was everybody's. I mean, I don't remember. No, well, I
remember this part specifically because, one of the ideas, just to keep it kind of vague, was Tinder date in real life or some shit like that, and it got 20 million views. It was
a fail. Like, we
no,
didn't get
the 60 million, I think.
We didn't get the prank right because we couldn't get it right. So, but he still just posted it anyways.
Huh. Yeah. So it was just one of those things where that video fucking popped off. And then he did another one of going downtown and, you know,
I think it was more like how sometimes you bring ideas and I just go, oh, what if we do this crazy here? What if we do this and this and this?
Does so like enhancing sense? The ideas.
Yeah.
Just enhancing, I guess.
No, but I think that's almost as good as like coming up with the idea on its own, because the idea without that enhancement would have been shit. I mean, I'm telling you, because I was there. And it was just so insane to see that amount of growth. And I was like, I didn't know this kind of growth was possible for YouTube. So then eventually a fitness YouTuber asked Alejandro, hey, will you and Jack move with me to LA? You know? And, you know, that we're off to LA. And then Jack didn't want to do it. He was like, no. At the time, he was gaining some subs for his channel.
He wanted to finish college.
Yeah, and he wanted to finish college too. So then Alejandro was like, oh, well, let's bring Phil. And then I edited one of his videos like overnight. And he was like, oh, this is good. So yeah, I decided to come along. You know, eventually that's where the whole, you know, neon on the face, skinny dipping, billboards, Hollywood, amazing. And then we moved back, shittiest year of the life. And then after I had that amazing job where I learned how to do systems and everything, you know, I'll pay off my debt, which through all this bullshit, dude, it was the most intense thing, right? And I was just like, oh my God, you know, Alejandro and I had like this other fucking fortune cookie company, which is how you and I also kind of continued our relationship. So it was Offensive Fortune Cookies. I paid Steezy to like do this video for me. He did it as a big ass favor because I couldn't afford anything, but he was just nice enough to.
Yeah, that was the Offensive Fortune Cookie prank.
Yeah, and I got 7 million views.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it did really well. And then, you know, from there, we had all these projects. Me and Alejandro continued to stay in touch. And eventually, we shut down the company. I paid off my debt and I was like, dude, I don't want to do anything for 3 months. I literally don't want to do anything. I want to relax. This is the first time in my life where I don't have debt. I don't have stress. I want to figure out what the fuck I want to do. Because I had already quit YouTube at that point. I didn't want to do YouTube at all, right? And then I get a phone call from this guy. And Alejandro was like, hey, round two, baby. Dude, he said round two, and I remember.
Oh, he actually said that.
Well, it was round three.
Yeah, round three at this point, right? And yeah, and when he said that, I was like, fuck no. My initial reaction was I was driving to the office, dude. I was so happy I paid off debt. I was chilling, and he said round three. I was like, dude, fuck you. I'm not doing this bullshit again. I don't want to go. Like, what is the point?
Well, you got to explain what he's saying.
So he's saying, yo, I met up with Steezy. He's talking about possibly moving to LA. We can do what we did, but we do it right because this guy actually listens. You might have to bleep out the name just in case.
You had to convince Philly. I was like,
dude, because you have to, like, to that point, we weren't kids anymore. Like, looking at LA with wide eyes and a candy shop and be like, oh my God, Los Angeles. Like, we had been through a lot. Like, and I'm leaving out a lot of, you know, stories here and there, but that's the gist of it. Mm-hmm. To the point where I'm like older now, like, and I'm like, dude, I don't want to do that whole bullshit again.
Yeah.
I don't want to be broke. I don't want to be constantly pressured to do this. People freaking out on you. And then, like, you suggest an idea and you're like, hey, do this. And they're like, no, fuck you. I'm like, dude, what is the point? And he's like, no, he's different. I promise you. And dude, we had this whole joke. I'm like, what is this, an abusive relationship with YouTube that we have? Like, we keep getting dragged into it. But that's where the three of us met, at Alejandro's house, basically, like in Kyle, like that little trailer thing that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And we just talked about YouTube. And when we did that, I was just like, oh, what the fuck? I mean, I guess. I remember saying, I guess. And then yeah. Alejandro pushed for the three of us to live together in the house in Austin. And
Well, hold on.
Oh, yeah.
That night when we went to Alejandro's ranch to talk about moving to LA, I just want to add this real quick. That was the night where I crashed into the 18-wheeler after leaving.
Oh, my God.
So after we're, like, talking at Alejandro's ranch, we go into one of the RVs that are there, and Alejandro had, like, a movie theater set up in there, like a big TV in the RV. So we just
you remember what movie we were watching?
It was the same guy who made Parasite, the director. What's it called?
Snowpiercer.
Oh, yeah. And then after that we watched another movie.
Really?
Of what's that guy's name that you were just talking about? He's your role model. Yeah, it was a Jim Carrey movie. And then
Ventura. We were watching Ace Ventura.
No. We were watching the
Cable Guy.
The Cable Guy, yeah.
Oh, shit.
And then I fall asleep. I was too tired. And I wake up to me being the only one in the RV. You guys left. And it was raining. So I'm like, what the fuck? Why did they just leave me here?
It was 3 a.m. Did we watch
Yeah, it was 3 a.m. And then I'm like, holy shit. And the door was locked. I don't know how, but the door was locked from the inside. So I had to jump out of the window into the mud, and it's raining. So I put my coat around my head and I run to my car, which is pretty far, through the mud. My shoes have mud all over them.
What was going through your head while you're doing this, by the way? Like, do you think you were going to get killed or something?
Like, no, I was just more like, oh shit, it's raining and shit. I was thinking about sleeping in the RV, but I was like, nah, I want to be in my bed. Run to my car, I get in, and then that was the most coziest feeling ever. I got in my car, I'm like, yes, I made it. And I just started driving home. I'm on the highway, and then I do this really dumb thing. There's this 18-wheeler here. I'm driving 80 to try and pass it, and I go in the left lane, and just going really fast. I hit a puddle, and then I hyperglide right into the 18-wheeler, and then I just fucking spin out of control on the highway. Thankfully, I didn't go under the 18-wheeler. If I went under, I probably would have died. That would have
been game over.
Probably would have died.
Holy shit.
And then I, you know, just, I'm on the highway backwards now. So I back up into the grass, and I get out of my car, and I'm shaking so much. Literally, my knee is like, it's half being cold and half, because it's still raining.
Yeah, because you saw a life flash before your eyes.
Yeah, basically. And half that. But I remember shaking so much to where it hurt. Like, it hurt shaking. And it took about 15 minutes for that to stop.
Damn.
Call the cops and everything. And then, yeah, you can watch the rest of the video. It's on YouTube. And the video called, I was bored, so I set my car on fire. But that's the intro of the video. But yeah, I just wanted to add that. That was the same night that happened.
That's crazy.
And then, yeah.
No, I mean, essentially, like, after that, you know, we moved here. You know, we basically moved here. We lived together for 3 months in the house. We started getting to know each other a little bit more. And then that was the decision as to, like, okay, Alejandro pushed for us to move to your house in Austin. And I'm glad he did, because I think we wouldn't really have known how we kind of work together.
It was like a little role play. I mean, foreplay.
Yeah, both bad, but sure. They're both bad. But yeah, I mean, long story short, that was kind of like fast forward my life from Costa Rica all the way up until like us working together. And whenever I'm doing this, you know, educational content, but fun video essay type channel right now. And that came from, I don't want to depend on anyone. So this was before I kind of, you know, decided to move to LA with you guys. I was just like, okay, I want to go back into YouTube, but I want to be really smart. So I took a month to just research what kind of content I want to do, how I want to structure it. You know, and something that even if the channel fails, where I could learn something from it. I was like, okay, I want to become better at research and writing and just filmmaking, putting stories together, like mini documentaries type shit. You know, because I don't want to worry about getting actors and all that scripted shit yet. So that was the reason why I started this channel as well, because it's just like I wanted to be self-sufficient, not dependent on anyone. And yeah, I mean, that's the story of Phil. That's Phil's story, you know, so far, unless you guys have questions.
You still haven't answered why you want to do YouTube.
Oh, why I want to do YouTube?
The whole question.
Yeah, so the reason why I want to do YouTube is because eventually I want to become a full-fledged filmmaker. I don't know where I'm going to be initially, if it's going to be in front of the camera, behind the camera. All I know is I love writing. That's one part of the filmmaking process that I love. My Instagram username for the longest time was @PhilTheWriter, inspired by Tyler, the Creator, because it was just like one of those things that I kept gravitating towards. And I want to be able to make movies. That's the whole goal. It's always been the goal. Like, oh, movies. Yeah,
you did say your answer. You see these actors on movies and you wanted to do that. You wanted to perform.
Yeah, I wanted to make people feel how they made me feel. Like those movies. Dude, literally, it. Like nothing else has ever really made sense to me. It's like one of those things where movies are the only thing, like art, like whether it's like music or, you know, paintings or whatever the fuck you're into.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's the only thing that fucking matters. Like you can make all this money and all this other shit, but every single person I look up to, they have these bodies of work, like whether it's filmmaking or music, and they kind of give life color. You know, they just fill you up with like all this euphoria and emotions, and they add to your life experience when you consume it. Like whenever you watch a really good movie, you learn so much about yourself and about the world around you and like how different people perceive the world. Like I saw Moonlight and now it's just like, you know, the story is about like this, you know, gay kid who grew up like in a very tough neighborhood and he has to come to terms with who he is. And it was just like this whole new perspective that I got where like, oh, even if somebody told me that instead of just showing me through a movie, I wouldn't have really partially understood that kind of life experience. And I think movies are so fucking powerful. You can put two people that hate each other, but if they see a movie, they both like it. They have something in common. And it's this unifying art form. And to me, there's nothing, dude, there's nothing in life that fucking means more or matters more than art. And to me, the highest form of art is movies because it combines music and moving images. So yeah, I mean, rant over, that's kind of like why I want to do filmmaking because, dude, I mean, it's impacted every aspect of my life. And I think everyone knows a good story when they see one. They don't have to be this master cinematographer or whatever the fuck. Everyone from, you know, the most simple person to the most intellectual person can watch a movie and take, you know, something from that experience. Yeah, that's why I want to do YouTube.
Story of Phil.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good place to wrap up the episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
You don't have any more questions?
I learned
questions?
A lot more about Phil, too. Any more questions? No, yeah. I asked it as he was telling the story. No, I'm just saying, like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anything else to add unless you guys have questions.
Yeah, we basically just undressed you and just looked at every aspect of your body and your soul.
Yeah.
Well, damn. I was going to ask, or unless you want to end the podcast.
No, you can ask.
Oh. I mean, we're probably 6 years into this now, dude. How does this make you feel that we've been 6 years and we still haven't... I guess because we're dumb. You know, we don't think we see any progress. But I guess Yeah, how do you feel that? Honestly, I mean, dude, we're still not anywhere near being a YouTuber.
I think so. I can answer this question a little bit briefly. I was talking to my dad, and he told me when I was your age, if there was something that I wish I could have told myself, it was one of those cliche moments. He says it was to enjoy the process more, because he says he was rushing so much to get to the end. He was rushing so much to go through these, you know, small experiences, because he wanted like this end goal, whether that be, I don't know, a million subs or $10,000 or whatever it is. And yeah, I mean, if there's anything I've taken away from like my short, very short existence on Earth and from all this shit that we've gone through, is the fact that like, dude, I'm not in a rush. I'm here to like fully enjoy the day and kind of learn every single day. Not look at it. I mean, obviously you can have like 10-year goals and all this other shit, but to compare yourself to somebody else and say, why am I not this successful? Why am I not that? You're robbing yourself of like your own life experience. It's the stupidest shit you can do. It's like, well, first of all, they have a completely different existence besides you. So you can't even compare that. So if you're going to compare yourself to somebody else more successful, compare the good and the bad. And you never know what's happening behind the scenes. You know, a lot of people look up to like Logan Paul.
Yeah, it's impossible to compare the bad nowadays.
Exactly. I mean, think about like how many people, you know, look up to David Dobrik and all this other shit, and all this bullshit comes out, and, you know, all of a sudden the image might get a little bit tarnished. Like, people aren't perfect, and you can't really look at people as a deity and be like, oh, they're amazing. So, yeah, the fact that ideally I'm not like where I am, it's like, I mean, dude, Kubrick, Spielberg, all these directors, like even Jim Carrey, I mean, he didn't really start seeing success until it was like 32, 33. He worked for like 10 full years. I mean, he has a really dark story, and he was like 28 and still working these comedy clubs and shit. So we put so much pressure, which is bullshit, on, you know, being uber successful at a young age. It does not matter. It's like, dude, just if you focus on learning. And I'm already at that point where I was just like, dude, I want to slowly get better. I don't expect to become this huge mega star like tomorrow. So yeah, before it would have bothered me, but I'm good now.
Damn.
But anyways, thank you guys so much for listening.
For the
make
podcast
sure to
and let's
get the Patreon.
Do the Patreon.
So cool. You're not gonna do the outro, what?
Do you want to do it? Or
I'll do it.
Let's do it at the same time.
Okay.
All right, so
this is gonna be so messy.
Fuck it. This.
Hey
this
guys, thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay, hold it here. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Hey
all right, guys,
thank you so much for watching the podcast.
Make sure to subscribe to the YouTube channel, and to, you know, also check out our Patreon and subscribe to that as well. Keep going.
Not so much, dude.
And listen.
Here, dude. What, dude? You do it or I do it.
All right, I'll do it.
Do it.
Make sure to check out our Patreon. You'll get access to a bunch of other things like exclusive episodes and our Discord. You'll be able to talk to us in the Discord and just, you know, talk to the other community members as well. Link in the description for that. Rate us on iTunes and play us on Spotify. What else?
That's it. Boom.
Done.